Welcome to this discussion of the Omer, the time of the counting of the Omer, happy days or not. Happy days or not. If you think about the time of the Omer, it's kind of confusing. Well, you know, what kind of time is it? On the one hand, today is Yom HaShoah. Today is one of the saddest days in the modern Jewish calendar. We commemorate the Holocaust itself. Some say it's not an appropriate time. We shouldn't have made the holiday now. But the fact is, somehow, fate had it that this is when the Holocaust Memorial Day that's been most agreed upon has fallen. We know that many men don't shave during this time. Some shave every other day. Some shave for business. Some people shave on Friday. But a lot of people don't shave at all during 33 days during this period. We'll see some shave don't shave even longer. And so it's kind of a sad time, as we'll see in a moment. Also, in modern times, we've had Yom HaTzmaut, Yom Yerushalayim, Jerusalem Day, Israel Independence Day, and it's been an exciting time. So what is this time of year? Is it a sad time? Is it a happy time? Let's take a look at what it was supposed to be to begin with. So there may be a difference between what this time became over time and what this time was meant to be originally. Could be a difference. Happy days or not. So let's take the first view that, oh, it's a sad time. It's a sad time. Of course, we have the Gemara in Yevamo 62b. Rabbi Akiva had 12,000 pairs of students, that's 24,000 students, in an area of land that stretched from Givat to Antipatris of Judea. In other words, it was a very broad area. In those days, you couldn't have so many people living in one city. So they spread out in different places. He had students all over the place. And they all died in one period of time, which says in another source was from Atzeres, from Pesach to Prosa Atzeres until halfway till Shavuos or whatever that means, to Lag BaOmer, 33 days within this period. But in any event, sometime in this period, because they did not give honor one to another. Another topic, how could it be that Rabbi, the great Rabbi Akiva's students, the Rabbi Akiva who taught love your neighbor as yourself is a major principle in the Torah, how could his students not give honor to one to another? Another topic we talk about on other occasions. But the fact is, historically, this period of time, they died. Whether it was a historical plague, whether it was because they were followers of Bar Kokhba and they died, they were killed, or they died from a mysterious supernatural plague because they did not honor each other, or they died in the Bar Kokhba rebellion because they didn't honor one another. Whatever it was, historically, something that led Jews to say, this is a sad time of year. 12,000 students died. Now, in the Talmud, it doesn't say what you should do during this time, but various customs developed. And here's one that goes even a step further. We need to recognize that this time was not only sad during the times of the Hadrianic persecutions and Rabbi Akiva in around the year 150, 170, but also during the time of the Crusades, 1096. So in some of the documents that describe the what happened in the Crusades, some of it you'll see in your keynotes on Tisha B'Av, it says the Chronicles of the Crusades, on the eighth day of Iyar, 1096, that's Iyar, is the month that we're going into. Next Wednesday is going to be Rosh Chodesh, and we're going to start Iyar. The fifth of Iyar is Israel Independence Day. So the Crusaders surrounded the synagogue of Spire. Spire is one of the major cities where Jews used to live in Germany before this time. There were great scholars there. So they attacked the Jews there, and they killed 11 of them. One of the victims was a woman, preferred the death over conversion, and etc. On the 23rd of Iyar, a little later, a few days after Lag BaOmer, Worms, the great city of Vermeija, Worms suffered, you know, there are many Jews, their names are Worms or things like that, people come from Worms, they suffered a similar fate. Crusaders first massacred the Jews who had remained in their houses. 8 days later, those who had sought an illusory refuge in the Bishop's Castle, then victims numbered 800. Only a few accepted conversion. The great majority chose to be killed or suicide. And then on the 3rd of Sivan, the burghers hastened to open the gates. And the Jews took up arms and the leadership of one of the Kolonimus people. and they were fasting. They hoped to avert the disaster, and they went to the bishop's castle. The bishop always supported the Jews. The bishop had a deal with the Jews. They paid him a certain amount of money. He would protect them, but they couldn't do anything to save them. He himself had to flee, and after a struggle, a massacre ensued. 1,000 Jews met their death. This comparable thing happened in Cologne, where the community was attacked on the 6th of Sivan as well. That is Shavuos. According to the Encyclopedia Judaica, maybe there were 5,000 victims altogether. It's hard to know exact numbers. Now, so historically, if you ask, you know, happy times or not, well, I don't know what the times were meant to be in the Torah, but I'll tell you this. Again, we're talking about the period between Pesach and Shavuos, which is known as the period of the Omer, the counting of the Omer. What was it meant to be? Well, so far we haven't talked about what it says in the Torah or what it was meant to be, but historically, it was a disaster. Rekiva students died in a particular period, and 24,000 students died. 5,000 people died in the three communities of Spire, Worms, and Mainz. The communities of Shum, Spire, Worms, Lvov, and Mainz, Shum, that's the abbreviation for these problems of Shum. And so this also happened. It made it a terrible time, so much so that if you look in this book called Sefer Minhag Tov, the book I have, comes a particular scholar put it out, Dr. Meir Tzvi Weiss put it out, a manuscript, and listen to what it says. Minhag Tov, it's a good custom, not to take a haircut, don't have any new garments, anything new. Again, this is not the halacha today, but this is his opinion in around the 1270, around 13th century. Lis'aneg b'merchatz, or having enjoyable bath in the bathhouse. Laso tziponav, or don't even cut your nail. How long? Me'achar Pesach ratzeres. From Pesach till Shavuos. Why? Not because of Rabbi Akiva students. No. L'chvod achasidim matzvim v'yishom sh'masu nashim al'tush Hashem. For the great pious people who gave their life for God, because the Crusaders, they jumped out of the tower, they committed suicide, so they would not be handed over for conversion for themselves and their children. You're allowed to do all these things on Lag BaOmer. However, after Lag BaOmer, you got to go back again. And most of us don't do this. Chabad takes this approach, that the whole period is set. Most of us say no. If 33 days, either from the first day of the second day of Pesach, the first day of the Omer, until Lag BaOmer, or from the Rosh Chodesh, this coming Wednesday, until 3 days before Shavuos, 33 days of mourning. But notice in the Middle Ages, in Germany, there was a sense that maybe we should take it to the nth degree. No bathing. Now, this custom we don't have at all today. There's no restriction at all on bathing. I noticed some of you have been overly strict about this. I wanted to point this out to you. No, I'm just kidding. But there's no restriction on bathing. Today, there's no. In the Middle Ages, after the destruction of those three cities, there were people who didn't bathe in hot water for the whole 50 days, 49 days of the Omer. This is very serious. They didn't cut their nails. Except on Lag BaOmer. So this is a very serious kind of a thing. It became a very sad time. Now let's make the argument that it's a happy time. Best argument comes from the Ramban. Ramban says, one of the men of Tisha B'Av counted 49 days. He's explaining the Torah in Leviticus chapter 23, Parshas Emor. Shiva Shavuot, 7 weeks. Kimei Olam. V'kidesh Yom Shmini Kishmini Shalchat. And he sanctified the eighth day, like the eighth day. The eighth day meaning you have 7, 7, 7, 7. Finally, the 7, 7, the eighth day is like the eighth day of Sukkos. Sukkos, you have a 7-day holiday. Eighth day is Shmini Atzeres, Simchas Torah. So do over here. You have 7, 7, 7, 7, 7 days. At the seventh of the 7 days, the eighth day is like Simchas Torah. The days you count in between Pesach and Shavuos are like Chol Hamoed. They're like the intermediate days of a holiday. They're between the first day of the holidays, which was Pesach, and the last day of the holiday, which was Shavuos. They have a holiday at the end. The final day is the day of giving the Torah, the Shavuos. That's the day we saw the great fire and we saw a vision of God. We heard the words of God from the fire. That's why the rabbis in all places call it Shavuos. They call what? Atzeret. Because the Torah, everybody knows Shmini Atzeret. You have 7 days of Sukkot and the Yom HaShmini Atzeret Yolcham. On the eighth day, it's Atzeret. It's a day of stopping working or to gather everyone together. It's not hard to know what Atzeret means. But it's something you have after a holiday, you have another holiday, and it stops, and you stop, and you gather everyone together. Just like Shmini Atzeres is the eighth day of the holiday, so too is the eighth day of the seventh week, of the 7 days, is Shavuos, and the rabbis don't call it Shavuos, they call it Atzeres, because it's like the Shmini Atzeres of Sukkot. What are the days in between? What's the counting the Omer? It's like Chol HaMoed. Chol HaMoed is like a semi-holiday. So it sounds like Ramban is saying that this period was supposed to be a semi-holiday. Would it have simcha? Would it have the enjoinder of the rejoicing like we do on Shavuos and Sukkos? And according to the Chazal, also on Pesach as well. Do you have to rejoice during these days? I don't know. I was arguing maybe it's a happy time. Happy days are here again. It's hard to say, perhaps. Sefer HaChinuch also says that look, the whole point of the life is Torah, and because of the Torah, the world was created. It's the reason we went out of Egypt. So after all, God told Moses, "I'm taking you out of Egypt. But when you get out of Egypt, you'll go worship God on this mountain." Worshiping Sinai is the ultimate goal of the Exodus. So therefore, since that's the main purpose of the redemption, therefore, since Torah is the whole essence of everything, therefore we were commanded to count from the Exodus till we got to Torah to show our great desire to that great day. It's a period of desire. It's a period of longing to get the Torah, to really be free. And when you count, it shows that you're looking forward to it. And that's why we count the Omer. This is how many days have passed, and we're only going to count 49 altogether. Shows our great desire to reach that time. It's a time of desire. Is it a happy time? No, it's a time of anticipation. Something great that's going to happen. We're going to get the Torah. It's going to be a great holiday. The Sefer HaBatim, we often quote, by David Kochavi, he quotes the Mor Nevuchim. Mor Nevuchim says in his third section that in order to show the greatness of Shavuos, we count to it. Like you're waiting for one of your good friends to come. That's why we count. Okay. So it's a time of anticipation. Third possibility, it's a time of anxiety. What do I mean, anxiety? So Rabbi Yosef B'chor Shor says, you should rejoice on Shavuos and on Sukkot. The Torah never says rejoice on Pesach. Why not? Sheikar shel Pesach is karzon eis. The main thing of Pesach is to remember the miracle that we went out of Egypt. But it's not really time of simcha to gather the wheat. You see, all they had at that point was barley. Barley is not so exciting. It's really for the animals in those days, especially. When you're excited, it's Shavuos. On Shavuos, the time of reaping, then you're happy. The pasuk in Isaiah, you should rejoice like you rejoice in the harvest. When people harvest, they have a good time. It's happy. Everybody, all the harvesters sing. The reapers, they all sing. Sukkos, you get gathered everything, the fruit and the wheat and everything. So very happy. But Pesach, not as much. So what does it mean? Maybe this is a period of anxiety. You didn't finish reaping the wheat yet. My cousin, John Greenberg, Dr. John Greenberg, he wrote a book called wrote a Haggadah that just came out this year. It's called Fruits of Freedom, Haggadah. The Fruits of Freedom. It's a wonderful Haggadah about all kinds of horticological elements within Pesach. It's amazing how many different issues he's had. Wonderful. So he says over here, to a farmer in the land of Israel, the Sfira, or the counting period, from Pesach to Shavuot, is a time of anxiety. I was in the middle of writing this, and there it was right there. The weather in Israel is notoriously mercurial at this time of year. It's not clear. Is it going to rain or not? It's like right now, you know, is it going to snow in New York? It could still snow. It's the in Israel, the rainy season is over, but it could rain. Keeping the farmers continuously on edge about whether rain will arrive and will benefit the growth of their crops, or when warm, dry weather is needed to promote the activity of pollinating bees and the ripening of fruits and grains. They're trying to ripen their fruits and grains, and if they have rain, it's going to ruin the pollen. The Bikurim were first fruits of the seven species were brought to the temple with great rejoicing beginning Shavuot. These crops are quite diverse, but they share one important trait, says my cousin, the agronomist from Cornell University with a PhD. He says, each of them is pollinated at a different time during the Sphira, during the counting time, and is therefore vulnerable to the vagaries of weather during this unsettled period. Like the highly varied landscape of the land of Israel itself, the competing needs of the seven species tempt the farmer to appeal to gods of rain, sun, and other natural phenomena for favorable local conditions. Dedicating one Bikurim to one supreme god is an act of complete and exclusive faith, abstention for offerings to other gods, precisely when the farmer would be most tempted to appeal to them. It's a vulnerable time. Will it rain? You're trying to harvest your wheat. Picture trying to use a sickle on wheat that's all soggy. Picture trying to pollinate all your fruits that you're supposed to bring on after Shavuos if the pollen is being wiped away and the bees can't get there to pollinate the trees. It's a crisis. It's a time of anxiety. Sfarno says, on Shavuos, we give thanks to God for the harvest because there was a great danger to the wheat, right? Whenever you plant anything, there's danger. My cousin used to have a farm. He was plotting until things, the crops either turned out well or didn't. You're nervous. So and then you give the Thanksgiving with the two loaves of bread, which are like the loaves of Thanksgiving. So they're both chametz. Loaves of Thanksgiving, loaves of Shavuos are chametz to show your Thanksgiving that you made it through. The wheat was actually successful. The Sfarno mentioned a verse in Jeremiah. It says, they have not said to themselves, let us revere the Lord our God, who gives them rain, the early and late rain in the season, who keeps for our benefit the weeks appointed for harvest. Chukos Shavuos. What does that mean? Chukos Shavuos. Shavuos Chukos Katsir. What does that mean? So Metzudat David often explains the Tanakh. He says, there's a rule of Shavuos that God would protect us, that he would not bring rain in Israel during the days of the harvest, because that's a curse. As we know from Shmuel, chapter 12, Samuel 1, chapter 12, verse 17, when Samuel brought rain in the middle of the harvest, everyone went crazy. It's terrible. So God protect, there's like a hope, there's like a law, there's a rule that God doesn't bring rain, but he could. And there's a great fear of rain at that time. It's a period of anxiety. Will it rain? Rain is not good at this time. Tolos Yitzchak was an uncle of the author of the Shulchan Aruch. We recently talked about Rabbi Yosef Karo. This is his uncle, Rabbi Yitzchak Karo. And he says, some people say there's another reason for the counting of the Omer. The world is worried. They're in pain from Pesach till Shavuos. Oh, it's because of the wheat and the fruits and the trees. And he brings a proof from the Gemara. The Gemara says, why did the Torah say, bring the Omer on Pesach? Because it's a time of wheat. And God says, bring me the sacrifice of wheat, of barley on Passover. It's a type of grain. So I'll bless the wheat in the field. And why do you have to bring two loaves of bread to wave them on Shavuos? Because God says, look, bring two loaves of bread, so I'll bless the fruits. Because we're worried about the fruits. We're worried about the grain. It's a period of anxiety, says the Tolos Yitzchak. And why do you have water libated on Sukkos? Because we're worried about the rain in the next season. So it's a period of uncertainty, anxiety. We want to make sure that the fruit will be proper. God should bring us the proper fruit. And he quotes that verse again from Jeremiah. The Radvaz has a wonderful book, and I thank my son Tani for bringing it to my attention. Metzudat David, not the Metzudat David commentary on Tanakh, but the Radvaz's book, his name is also David Ben Zimra, Ibn Zimra, and he wrote a book about all the mitzvos and the reasons. And and it's mitzvah number 389. And he bases it on that Gemara that we just mentioned, that the, we bring the Omer offering and the Shavuos offering, the two loaves of bread, to make sure that we have good crops. So he says the Omer is to bless the unripe wheat, and the two bread on Shavuos to bless the fruit that didn't blossom yet, as my cousin explained. Also, another idea is to go from the Midat HaDin to the Midat HaRachmi, from judgment to mercy. Barley represents judgment to mercy. Ah, so then we get a new idea. Maybe it's a transitional time. Maybe this period we go from the period of judgment to mercy. We were wondering, how could you have today's Yom HaShoah, the Holocaust Memorial Day? The next week is going to be Israel Independence Day. It's going to be Jerusalem Day. How could all these things coexist at one time? Is it a happy time or a sad time? The answer is it's a transitional period from the harsh judgment of God to the mercy of God. The Akedas Yitzchak, a more classical commentator I have over here, on the Rabbi Yitzchak Arama of originally Spain, he went to Italy. He said, Lefishi made CPIM. It's a time of anticipation, hope. There are times of trouble. You can't sleep at night. You know why? Not because of the wheat. Because we can't get close with God yet. We're going to get close to God and Shavuos, but not yet. That's why you can't say Shechianu. When you start, there's a famous question of the Balamor, of Mizrahi Alevi. Why don't we say Shechianu for the first night of the Omer counting? It's a new mitzvah. We always say Shechianu on a new mitzvah. And the answer is that you're in pain. You're waiting to see God, to get closer to God in Shavuos. And as we mentioned, we're waiting to see if our crops are going to be good. It's not a time for Shechianu. We're not happy yet. We're going to be happy. Not yet. Maybe when you're finished. Maybe some say the Shechianu and Shavuos, that's the Shechianu for the Omer, when you're finished. So maybe it's a transitional time. The Zohar says, just like a woman counts 7 days, and then she's pure, she can be with her husband, she can go to the mikveh, be with her husband. So too, we want to get close with our divine spouse, so to speak, with God. So we use these 50 days to get close to, 50 is the level of Bina. Bina is feminine. It's going to be, we're going to get close with the Torah, close with God. It's a period of transition, moving us toward the ultimate goal of being pure on Shavuos, transitional time, and maybe that explains it. So now if we look at this, all these things that go on during this Omer time between Pesach and Shavuos, we can say as follows. Pesach is the beginning of a redemption, but you're not there yet, right? You didn't get to your purpose yet. Purpose is to be close with God, getting the Torah. So first you have Nisan, which is a happy month, but still, you're still in Egypt. You just got out. We have Yom HaShoah. And the story of how Yom HaShoah was chosen for this time is very strange, but it turns out that we have Yom HaShoah because we're at the beginning. According to Akedas Yitzchak, it's a period of transition. We start off with judgment, and later we have great mercy. And we hit Yom HaAtzmaut, the day Israel independence. Israel, after 2,000 years, we had our own state. Lo and behold. You don't like the state, it's to this, it's to that, it doesn't make a difference. It's a state. That's something to celebrate. Lag BaOmer. Celebrate Shema Yochai. We celebrate that people stop dying. Things are getting a little better. Yom Yerushalayim, the ultimate, the Jews are reunited in Jerusalem, can go and pray, get as close as we can nowadays to God. We can stay in the Kotel, we can surround the Holy Temple Mount, we can pray toward the Temple Mount. It's so amazing. The feeling you have when you're in Jerusalem. And we have the Shlosh Yemei Hagbalah, the 3 days right before Shavuos, a happy time. It's an anticipatory time. So what is this period? So we suggested a lot of different possibilities. We said, maybe it's a sad time. We talked about historical, terrible things that happened during this time. Maybe it's a happy time. Then Ramban said, maybe it's a transitional time of, it's the intermediate days. Maybe it's time we're looking forward to getting the Torah, the purpose of our existence. Maybe it's time we're waiting for our friend to come. Maybe it's time of anxiety. We don't know how is the week going to turn out. How's the pollination going to work out? Will the rain ruin everything? We have the verse in Jeremiah talks about, you know, we don't want rain during this time. We're concerned about the wheat, and that's why we're in pain during this time. Maybe we are trying to go from transition from judgment to mercy. Maybe it's a day, a time of longing for a closeness with God. Maybe it's a transitional time of purifying ourselves to get ready to get close with God. I have to stop now to go to Marv and count the Omer as well. Don't forget. But I think we showed that the fact that there are all these holidays, it all makes sense because it's a happy time. It's a sad time. It once was a sad time, and we hope it will go back to its original purpose, that it will be indeed a happy time. It will be the way it was designed to be. It will be a great time, a time of great joy, and a time when we can once again rejoice with the anticipation of getting close to God during this time. Let us hope that once again we can restore the Omer time to being, like the Ramban says, the time of the intermediate days between Pesach and Shavuos. It should feel like one big holiday, a Gansi or Freilich, a whole year, a whole time, 50 days of joy, anticipation, great things yet to come. Thanks for joining us, and we'll see you next time.